Welcome to The Versatile Writer, providing support and encouragement to writers and creatives. Welcome to Episode 6, Season 11. If you listen to Season 10, you'll know this season I'm continuing with the alphabet. That is, I'm taking each letter of the alphabet and using it as a prompt related to writing and the writing world. I generally talk about it from my own experiences, and I truly believe that if it means something to me, or I've found a way around an issue, or to tackle an issue, then others will have too, and it may well help them. Before I begin though, a bit of housekeeping. I record my podcasts next to a sometimes open window in my office, which is next to a bird feeder and a road. At times, you'll hear birds flapping and chirping and vehicles swoosh by. The information shared within this podcast is, I believe, more important than the polishedness of the tech. But I quite like the unpolishedness of this podcast. It's kind of raw, which I love, and I hope you do too. I'm also very aware that if you listen to this, or you've listened to several episodes of The Versatile Writer, you'll hear this similar kind of housekeeping pitch that I give you, and hear the word unpolishedness a lot, and I feel like that should become a word in the dictionary. It's such a cool word. Even if it isn't a real word, it's still a cool word. And most words weren't real in the first place. They all had to be created, didn't they? You can subscribe to this podcast for free as well and have it arrive automatically when it's published. So please tell your friends and family about it, because you never know, it may well speak to them. And you can also further the discussions of topics I raise here on the podcast's dedicated Facebook group. The link is in the show notes, or you can type The Versatile Writer Podcast Group into Facebook's search bar. So here we go. Season 11, Episode 6, W. I'll be touching on what if, warnings, waiting, winter, waffle. Oh, I want a waffle now. Writers, writing, and wardrobe. So let's get started. W is for what if. What if is what fuels our creative minds. What if forces us to consider different ideas, situations, and outcomes. What if empowers us to come up with answers to our questions and more questions to answer. What if lands in our minds and our imaginations take over. We develop the idea to see if it has legs and run with it. What if a man lost his job? What if he had a family to provide for? What if losing his job wasn't his fault? What if the reason he lost his job was because he was accused of a crime? What if it wasn't his fault? What if somebody else had framed him? What if he had no choice but to prove his innocence, but didn't have access to a lawyer to defend him? What if things turned really nasty and he had to protect his family from the person who framed him? This is how stories begin. What if? We try it with other scenarios too. What if the car crashed before it got out of the showroom? What if a spaceship landed in the middle of the town centre? What if she freelanced for her ex-husband without her current husband knowing about it? What if he didn't pay the loan sharks on time? Never underestimate the power of what if. It's brought us a world of stories. W is for warnings. This harks back to season 10 and C in episode 2 or 3, I think it was. C for controversial content. Now, what do you think about warnings in books? Should they be inside books, like just as they are with movies? Trigger warnings, X-rated content, that kind of thing? I tend to feel that the title, the blurb, and the cover image, even genre, ought to give the reader an inkling of things to come. If they know what they're signing up for ahead of time, would it make a difference to insert a trigger warning? Isn't having a trigger warning inside overkill? On the other hand, is giving a trigger warning actually a spoiler? Telling the reader what's going to happen in the story might actually be a draw. Some people like the idea of your story including unsavoury content. I do wonder about this though, because all kinds of things can trigger us in different ways. And I don't mean just an, ooh, that's a bit yucky, now I feel sick kind of way. I mean it can remind us of something terrible in our past that we've tried hard to overcome but haven't quite yet. And that could lead us into all kinds of locked areas in our minds. But then, how will a writer know this? giving you an example of something most people wouldn't care about, but those with globophobia could be disturbed for some time. In case you didn't know, globophobia is the fear of balloons. And yet a balloon is one of the symbolic techniques used in and is quite a large part of, specifically, Stephen King's It novel and Joe Hill's Black Phone novel, and probably countless other novels too. Does that mean these authors, or more appropriately, the publishers, ought to have put a trigger warning in those books in case someone with globophobia is triggered? Now, I'm absolutely not making light of this trigger topic, absolutely far from it. I'm very curious and would love to hear your thoughts on the topic. You can request to join the group attached to this podcast over on Facebook. The link is in the show notes, or you can search the Versatile Writer Podcast group in Facebook. W is for waiting for that idea to hit. I suspect most writers are split into two categories with this one, those who go out and look for a prompt, and those who wait for it to hit them, which are you. I must say though, there might be a third category and I sit within that one. From my own experiences, ideas seem to seek me out. They come at me from all angles. I can be watching TV or a movie or listening to a podcast and an idea will hit, or I could dream an idea, or writing another story when another one flies out at me. This is my subconscious at work, while my subconscious brain is focused on something else. That's not to say all the ideas I get are good, far from it, or indeed any are worth pursuing. But some can be joined with others, so few ideas are overlooked. If you're waiting for an idea to hit, you could get in touch for a copy of my book of prompts. It's called Writing Naked, Writing Without Boundaries, and contains both written and pictorial prompts. Check it out on my site, loveofbooks.co.uk, or you could email me to buy a copy, and my email is on my site. That's loveofbooks.co.uk. W is for winter. Are you a seasonal writer? I ask this because some writers grab their pens when the sun shines and others are very much at home scribbling away when the autumn rains arrive. Fortunately, I can write any time of day or night and in any season, but I'm interested if you need the right conditions to get your words out. I tend to wake up a bit in the autumn and by then I'm ready to get moving, especially as Christmas will be approaching. If I'm already working on something, chances are the autumn will give me the drive to get on with it or complete it. And I think this might be because Christmas and the New Year provide a natural deadline. So by finishing a project before Christmas, it means I can rest for a few days before recommencing the following year. Does it work like that for you too? I suspect some writers take a little time in getting moving at the start of the year, and when spring comes along, they're motivated even more. I realise it's different for everyone. Some writers are probably not affected by the weather at all. Here in the UK, where I live, we're in February at the moment and coming out of the winter and going towards spring, although the idea of spring does seem a really long way away still. As I speak, I'm at my desk, a little chilly and wearing fluffy socks over my tights and a chunky scarf that I made around my neck. I think these small comforts help me feel warm and snuggly as I write. They provide a helpful environment. Of course, in the summertime, all the windows will be open and I'd probably be moaning about flies. Weather also plays a part in my writing, at least if not the weather, the moods and atmosphere it can bring. So back to the original question. Are you a seasonal writer? W is for waffle. No, not that kind. Does your writing sometimes waffle on a bit? I have found that with my own writing, if I'm trying to make a point, but that point is a little tricky to grab, so I might fill the paragraph with waffle. It might be filler words like very in she looked very nice, or really in the test was really hard, when stronger, weightier words would work better, like she looked smart, or the test was tough. Waffle might be the narrative between the dialogue. Perhaps you've gone a bit mad with your description of the clouds or the scenery, or maybe your waffle shows up in the dialogue. To be honest, most of this will only show up if you read it aloud. If you find yourself stumbling on specific sentences or running out of breath to say the sentence, maybe it needs cutting. I think it's a technique, if I can call it that, that your brain uses to get you to do the rest of the task so you can finish it and then come back to the icky bit. We often only see the waffle afterwards when we're editing, or if an editor highlights it for you. Do you waffle a bit in your writing? Do you think I'm waffling right now? You might be right. W is for writers. Yes, writers, those people who share their stories. On the whole, these are wonderful folk. Of course, you get the odd bad apple. Once you've steered around them, they're nothing but a dot in your rearview mirror. Writers are generally resourceful people, though. Creative, proactive, having a can-do, and often already did, attitude. Give a writer a prompt, and 5 minutes later, they'll give you a story. W is for wardrobe. Yes, this is an odd one, isn't it? I've included this because now so many people work from home. I do wonder how many writers actually get dressed or remain in their PJs all day. For me, I have to shower, dress and do my hair and makeup before I get to my desk, or else I don't feel like I'm at work. It doesn't matter to me if I'm having a Zoom meeting or I'm staring at my screen writing all day long. I must be dressed and ready and prepared. Without this routine, I don't think I'd feel particularly professional. And I'm pretty strong-minded on how I present myself and my business. I tend to feel if I showed up in PJs and there was a Zoom meeting, people wouldn't take me seriously. And I've tried for so many years to be taken seriously. So there you have it. The only time I do write in my PJs is if I'm pulling an all-nighter and intend to go straight to bed right afterwards. And that's normally around 3 a.m. So what do you wear when you're writing, if that's not too personal a question? And is it important for you to be in day clothes, or are you fine writing in your PJs? Do you not share the mindset I have? W is for writing. If writing has become such a part of your life as it has for me, then you'll appreciate when I say that writing is a doorway to another world. I've said this before, but writing was the activity I enjoyed as a teenager, but it wasn't until my 20s, then 30s, that I began to take it seriously. I learned that I could use it to create people and situations and other worlds, and that brought with it excitement. Probably a bit of power too, some passion and the drive to carve out a career for myself. There have been times when I had to rely on other people to provide an income, but I believe that possibly speaks more about the times in which we live than my abilities. Whichever way you slice it, creative writing is wonderful because it is filled with wonder. And writing seems like a good word to end this episode with. I hope you got something from this episode, and if you did, please tell others, let them know. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. I hope you got something from this podcast, and if you did, tell others. It's free as well, so it won't cost you a thing. Thank you for listening to episode 6, W of the Versatile Writer.